speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Who here has some kind of daily practice, something that they can't go just one day without doing? Maybe it's drinking a cup of coffee with the paper, maybe it's gardening, maybe it's practicing an instrument, practicing a sport. Who has something like that? Does anyone want to share? Anyone have something?
Oh, yeah.
Elaine, yeah, what do you?
Yeah, me?
Yeah.
What do you do?
What do you do every day?
It's about to wear a crown.
Wears a crown every day. Got to feel good, right? Yeah, every day. Anyone else have anything you want to share?
Walking
the dog, yes, very important. For me, that one thing is running. I try to do and go for a run every day. I think most of you might know that, or if not, you will probably hear me talking about running at some point while I'm here for the next 2 years. A friend once shared with me a quote, actually, about practicing and being active, and this is from the late 20th century violinist Jascha Heifetz. And he once said about practicing, he said, "If I don't go one day without practicing, I know it. Now, if I don't go 2 days without practicing, the critics, they know it. Now, if I go 3 days without practicing, everyone knows it. Everyone can tell." And I think I could say the same thing of myself with running. If one day I don't run, it's okay, it's fine. You know, I'm going to know it. I'm going to feel a little off. 2 days, maybe my teammates, they might start to tell. I got a little hitch in my stride. I'm not moving like I used to. Now, 3 days, I think everyone's going to know. I'm going to be pretty grumpy. I'm not going to feel good. If I show up for a race, I might not even run well. It's going to be bad. It's going to be a bad situation. So what does this have to do with this really difficult gospel reading today? It's pretty condemning. It's difficult. It's tough. It's not what we want to hear. To which I would say, I think quite a bit. This parable that Jesus shares with us today actually falls in a sequence of three parables that we've heard over the past two Sundays. I think we heard Katie and then Kurt maybe a weekend even before that. And it's a sequence of three parables, and it's the final in this triplet. And we see Jesus seemingly attacking a group of people, the Jewish high priests. But I don't think that's exactly what's going on here. Well, I think we need to think a little bit about the history of what was going on at this time. Our gospel author, Matthew, wrote this around 85 AD, and this just falls on the coattails of 70 AD, when one of the most destructive events happened in the history of the Jewish people. This was when their temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. This was the center of their worship. This was their life. This is where they offered sacrifice. This is where they offered praise. They no longer knew who they were as a people. They were trying to figure it out. And of course, this comes on the coattails of the great events of 33 AD, of the crucifixion and the resurrection. This was a community trying to figure out who it was again. It was tense, it was difficult, it was violent. I think a lot of things that we see in this gospel reading, we see destruction, we see murder, we see what seems like senseless violence. What's also unique about this gospel is, and this parable, is it's something that we see in another gospel. We see it in the Gospel of Luke as well. But we also see it in the Gospel of Thomas, which is a non-canonical book. So we're pretty sure Jesus really said something like this. He really shared a parable about some kind of wedding feast or some kind of wedding banquet. But what we don't see are these last four lines in any of the other accounts, where the king enters into this wedding hall, sees a person sitting there and says, "Friend, how did you get in here without a robe?" And has him bound and cast into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. "For many are called, but few are chosen." It's not what we want to hear. It's brutal. And we might be thinking to ourselves, you know, how is this guest supposed to even get dressed in time? You know, I just got married. It takes a while to get dressed for a wedding. And I think the bridesmaids and the bride may take even a little bit longer than the groom and the groomsmen. Got to get their hair done. They got to get their dresses. It doesn't seem fair. This guy just got the invite an hour ago. How is he going to show up in the right robe? And we see this again throughout the parable. The king sends out an invitation again and again and again, and no one responds. I sent my RSVPs out 6 months in advance. People said they're going to come. I bought them a meal. I'd be pretty upset. I'd be pretty upset as well. But again, I don't quite think that's what's going on here. We remember that the king is gracious, that he invites all to celebrate. He invites all to worship and to be excited and to praise and to share in the same feast together, to share at the same table together, just as we do up here. He's gracious and freely inviting all people to his banquet. And then we ask ourselves, again, what's the deal with this robe situation? Why does it matter what we wear? Well, again, there's some history behind this. This is the king's banquet for his son, the prince, the next heir to the throne. All people would be invited to this feast in the kingdom. But what we need to remember is that not all people had access to the same clothing. We don't have all access to the same means. But what we do know is that in an ancient Israel wedding, it didn't matter. The idea was that you wore something different. Something that showed that you attempted, that you tried your best, that you tried to be reverent. Maybe it wasn't your work clothes. You know, you changed out of those at least. But you wore something that was a little different. You tried. So now we start to see that maybe this guy, this friend in the wedding was being a little lazy. Maybe he said, I'm too busy. I can't put on my wedding robe today. I can't put on something different. It'll be fine. And we also know that when guests traveled to a wedding banquet, they traveled days, maybe 3 days across the desert at times. And they often didn't bring their wedding robe with them. They didn't want to get it dirty. And this is the reality. And in order to fix that, oftentimes the host would actually provide. They would provide a wedding robe, a garment, at the door. So now we think about it. This guy is getting handed a robe at the door. He's like, no, I'm not going to wear that. Not today. Not for me. He's defiant. He's not putting on anything different. He's content to say, yes, I'm here. I'm in this place. That's enough. That's enough. I'll enjoy in this feast. We often hear Matthew use the word the kingdom of heaven over and over and over again throughout his gospel. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about in this parable. Jesus is speaking into a deeper reality in this parable. This kingdom of heaven, this wedding feast to which we are all invited. So what is it? What is it that we are supposed to put on? What is this robe that prepares us for this kingdom, this feast? I think St. Paul has a great answer in Romans. In Romans 13, he says, we are to put on Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? Again, I think throughout this gospel, we keep hearing over and over again, how do we build community? We've been talking about week after week. How do we be good to our neighbors? And Matthew teaches us over and over again. We got the Sermon on the Mount. We got, chapters 5 through 7. We be humble. We forgive. We're slow to anger. We love our neighbor. And then in chapter 25, I think most famously, we all know, what are we told to do? We are told to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to welcome the stranger, to visit those in prison. I think this is that ethic. This is what we are to put on daily. Each day to prepare ourselves for what God is calling us to. God calls us so graciously and so freely. He freely invites us all people, to the wedding feast. And this invitation, though it may be free, is not something that is cheap. So what are we to do? How do we prevent ourselves from cheapening God's free gift to this feast and to this kingdom? And that's what I would say we ought to practice each day. We are to be active. We are to make it our daily practice of being kind and giving and forgiving and loving and slow to anger, and doing all of those great fruits of the Spirit. This is the robe that we are to put on for this wedding feast. Amen.